Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Friday, February 5th. Today could be the day when Congress passes President Biden's first COVID relief bill that could deliver up to $1.9 trillion to people being economically socked by the pandemic. And one thing that the data shows, and that just about everyone affected knows through experience, women, and especially moms with kids at home, are getting socked more than anyone. December's jobs report, have you heard the stat, showed a net loss in this country of 140,000 jobs. The net loss among women was 140,000 jobs. The net loss among men was zero. Black and Latinx women are disproportionately affected because of the pandemic-sensitive service work they disproportionately do. This doesn't even begin to address the fact that mothers with jobs are doing those jobs and actively parenting more than men, duh, and the mental health toll of that, and we'll get to that. But nearly 5 million women have lost their jobs in the pandemic, more lost jobs than men. An estimated 2 million other women who have voluntarily left the workforce, largely to take care of kids who are going to school remotely, is another category. A third of the women ages 25 to 44 who lost their jobs said childcare is the reason. So a group of women led by Reshma Sawjani, the founder of the group Girls Who Code, you know her, she's been on the show and she's done a lot with Girls Who Code, took out a full-page ad in the New York Times, an open letter to President Biden calling for a Marshall Plan for moms. A Marshall Plan for moms. What is that? Well, at the heart of it is a $2,400 a month check to mothers, depending on their other income. Here is Reshma Sawjani on MSNBC.
I mean, when COVID started, we were over 50% of the labor force. You know, my students were watching their mothers be innovators, creators, doctors, lawyers, teachers, artists. And every woman I know has had to reduce her hours, say no to that promotion, go on food stamps, move in with their parents. They've seen their dreams diminished. You know, this pandemic has burdened mothers the most. So any economic recovery plan that this administration is putting forth has to put mothers at the center of it.
Reshma Sawjani from Girls Who Code and now from the Marshall Plan for Moms movement. So did President Biden see the ad with the open letter? Does the Biden relief bill have a Marshall Plan for moms? Biden's press secretary, Jen Psaki, was asked that question at her daily briefing on Wednesday. Here's the question from CBS News White House correspondent Ed O'Keefe and Jen Psaki's reply.
There was a full-page ad in the New York Times last week put there by several prominent women calling on the Biden administration to implement what they call a Marshall Plan for moms in the first 100 days. Has the president seen the ad, and would he support the idea of monthly payments to mothers who are saddled by this pandemic?
Well, as a mom myself, I can confirm for you that the conversation I have most frequently with friends on Zoom calls is about the impact of the pandemic on working moms across the country. And what the president has certainly concerned about, as we all are, is the fact that this has a disproportionate impact on communities of color, on women of color, who are working, many of them working on jobs as frontline workers and playing vital roles in industries across the country. And it's certainly an issue that Secretary Yellen, his economic team are focused on and will be looking for ways to help appease.
So the answer from Jen Psaki, Biden's press secretary, was no, there is no Marshall Plan for moms per se, but with an acknowledgement of the disproportionate effect of the pandemic on mothers with kids at home specifically, and women in general, black and brown women more than white ones. The Biden package does include 3 months of paid sick and family leave between now and September, and a new child care tax credit of up to $8,000, depending on your income. If you've seen the New York Times website yet today, maybe you've already come across a new package of articles called The Primal Scream, America's Mothers Are in Crisis. And with us now is one of the editors and contributors to that package, Jessica Bennett, editor-at-large for The Times, who writes about gender and culture. Her article in the package is called Three American Mothers on the Brink. And also with us is one of those three American mothers, Dakita Brown from Olney, Maryland. She refers to herself as an autism mom. She is also an advocate and founder of the nonprofit Walk One Day in Our Shoes. And in her day job, she works in community relations for a bank. In the article, it says, she used to be June Cleaver. Now she doesn't know who she is. Jessica, welcome back. And Dakita, thanks so much for joining us. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Jessica, our news hook is the relief bill and whether it's targeted sufficiently to women and especially moms to reflect the proportion of their economic and lifestyle hit. And we'll get to that. But first, do you want to talk a little about the overarching title for this set of articles, The Primal Scream?
Yeah, I would love to. So we learned a few months back that there were a group of moms in New Jersey, actually, who had decided on the first day of school in September, they were going to go into the respective fields by their home and let out a primal scream. You know, they were working, they were parenting, they were schooling. And it gave us this idea.
An actual primal scream, not a metaphor.
A literal primal scream. You know, they've had it and they just couldn't take it anymore. And so we decided to open up a phone line at the Times where any parent could call in and, you know, scream, cry, vent, hide in a closet, whatever they might do to make themselves feel better and express their frustration at this moment.
We'll invite moms to call in with their own primal screams in just a second. But Dakita, let's introduce you to our listeners first. The article says you're 41, so really you're a generation too young to have watched June Cleaver, the always cheerful and relaxed mom on the sitcom Leave It to Beaver, kind of the opposite of a primal scream. So generational disconnect aside, why did you tell Jessica you used to be her?
So I used to watch June Cleaver after school. When I came home from school, it was the only thing on before cartoons. And I just remember her in her perfectly ironed apron and her heels. And she was perfect. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that is awesome. Like, this is the perfect, like the epitome of the perfect mom. So that was what I had in my mind. And that's how I felt like my life was going pre-pandemic. Like everything worked like clockwork. No, I didn't wear an apron and heels every night. But I did feel like I had things under control, and I'm in a position now where I just do not feel that that is the case.
And now, are you primal screaming?
Oh, yeah. I'm primal screaming. I'm primal cursing. I'm primal drinking wine. I'm primal binge watching. I'm doing it all.
And Jessica, I see that Dakita even won an award just a year ago as Working Mother of the Year, and I won't put her on the spot to be immodest. So can you tell us who gave that award and why to her?
Yeah, so about a year ago, Dakita was standing on stage in New York City accepting an award for Working Mother of the Year that was put together by Working Women magazine and also her company. And, you know, her husband was in the crowd very proudly taking photos and texting them to her two daughters. And then this is my favorite anecdote, I think, from spending all this time with Dakita was exactly 1 year later, she was standing in the wine aisle of her local grocery store in Maryland with her keys and her cell phone in her hand, sort of in a trance, staring at the bottles, wondering if she should just start smashing them because she had had enough.
Oh, my. Dakita, you want to pick up that story from there?
Yeah, so to paint the picture, it's literally, if you just imagine me with my arm stretched out, you know, like how you just clear off a desk or a table, I just felt like that would feel really good right now. And on top of that, if I did that, possibly I could be like taken away for a few days and not have to deal with everything that was going on under my roof. So it was just one of those weird moments. Like I didn't want to drink the wine. I wanted to smash those bottles and feel better. And yeah, there are days like that, many, many days that I have like that.
Sonia in Bed-Stuy, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sonia. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Good morning, Brian. Thank you for your service to our community, and thank you for this topic. I just wanted to share that I'm a mental health counselor at Children of Promise NYC in Bed-Stuy, and I work with the mom group, caregiver group, and we have, and they are all parents who have been impacted by mass incarceration. So we are dealing with a lot, and I want to share some of our tips that we've come up with as a group.
Great.
Firstly, having a group of other moms to de-stress, to get our feelings out, to talk about stuff is so important. Just 1 hour a week, and to bond and give each other strength and hope, and talk about how we hid out in the bathtub for an hour. And the second thing I wanted to share is just lower the expectations. You know, like, they're, don't worry about the grades. They may not log in every day on time. Just, we got to take it easy on ourselves, give ourselves a break. This is an unusual, extreme experience we've had for a long time. And we just need to just do what we need to do to get by, focus on getting through the day. And we're doing a great job, moms.
Sonia, thanks for the pep talk on behalf of all the moms who would have heard it. Dakita, do you relate to that suggestion, lower the expectations?
I absolutely do, because I see what that does for me when I lower those expectations. I used to say, we're not going to eat out during the week. We're going to wait until the weekends to eat out, because it's, that's not necessary. I can cook. We eat out. I tell my husband sometimes when I'm feeling like I just can't get everything done, including dinner, I say, I need you to handle dinner. And that means getting Chinese food. Then that's what it is. I'm a bit of a neat freak, but when it comes to the clean, like, I, so I'm constantly cleaning. So that's one thing I really can't let go of. But yeah, the grades, I teeter a very thin line when it comes to my daughters. I'm like, oh, you know, these grades need to come up. But then at the other part of me, it says, she's doing her best in a pandemic. What is wrong with you, woman? And then I feel guilty. And like the first caller said, it's like that guilt is there that, do I need to push more? I mean, we are at home and there shouldn't be any distractions. Should I be pushing her more or should I let up more? So it's a constant struggle.
One more call, then we'll get into the Biden COVID relief bill policy piece and what's in it and what's not in it. Vanessa in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Vanessa. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you for having me. I was calling today to kind of talk about my perspective as a single mom and the impossible decisions that are being made right now. So I have a 9-year-old and a 20-month-old. My 9-year-old has special needs, and I'm a single mom. So it was really, it's just been an incredible amount of impossible decisions and what I prioritize in terms of safety versus mental health safety. It's constantly a battle of whether or not I'm making the right decision. You know, my 9-year-old was having such a terrible time staying at home and really was missing out on the really important social emotional growth that's important at this time. So for me, I think every day, and for a lot of parents like me who do work full time, who are single moms, it's that constant feeling of like making the best scenario out of a worst case scenario and making really all those hard decisions. I really empathize with a lot of parents that have decided to put their kids back in school or to take that risk because of the other impossible decisions they have to make, whether that's staying at home and losing out on that financial gain, or if it's sending their kids back to school and risking, and the very real risk of COVID too. So that's really what I've been grappling with here and at home. And every day it's another decision that I would rather not make.
Yeah. Any piece of advice for other single parents out there where, you know, regarding something you did that worked, like, hey, I'd like to share this.
I guess for me, it's really giving yourself a lot of grace. Everything is so hard and there are so many opinions and there's so much noise. And really at the end of the day, you have to prioritize kind of your, the best situation for your family and know that you are doing the best you can and that you're prioritizing your needs, and your needs may look a lot different from the mom next door or the parents next door. And so for me, it was just taking that moment and giving yourself a lot of grace. And understanding that this is an exceptional time. We're in the middle of a pandemic. And if I have to say that to myself every day, 10 times a day to say you're doing the best you can and there is an actual pandemic happening. Business as usual doesn't exist as we know it right now. So I think for me, it's just keeping that in mind and giving myself a lot of grace.
Vanessa, you're a hero. Thank you very much for calling in. And since Vanessa called in as a single mom, can we give a little bit of love for a minute to the single dads out there too, who also exist? So I'm going to take Renato in Manhasset next. Renato, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi, Brian, and good morning to everyone. Thank you for taking my call. So I'm very glad to hear of the initiative and the thoughts that are being discussed. But, you know, through the years, I've been a single father for about 8-9 years now with 2 daughters. And, you know, I know what it's like to be a single father, the struggles, the disappointments, the lack of thinking you're doing the best you can. And I can't help but, you know, I get incensed over the years where there's support for single mothers, which is absolutely justifiable, but very little for single fathers. And although it's a much smaller group of people, when you take into account single fathers, be it heterosexual or homosexual men, I don't feel there's the same kind of support, discussion, and kind of consideration to that. And I also think in terms of, you know, making something happen like this, I think it's an opportunity to talk about parents, single parents in general, no matter what the gender or sexual orientation is, to kind of empower the argument and make it much more of an all-encompassing suggestion.
Yes, when we talk about single parents. That's fair, Jessica, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, we know statistically that single parents are being disproportionately affected in this pandemic, no matter their gender.
Jessica, let me get into some of these policy issues with you. I assume you've seen the Marshall Project for Moms full-page ad in the Times calling for a $2,400 a month temporary payment to moms, depending on income, while the pandemic economy rages. And you heard Press Secretary Jen Psaki's response to it that we played a little while ago on behalf of the president. And the Biden bill does have 3 months of paid sick and family leave and a child care tax credit up to $8,000, depending on your income. Does the relief bill as it exists center moms in the right way, in your opinion, or that of people you interview for your articles?
I think it is trying very hard to put families and working parents at the center. You know, this idea of a Marshall plan for moms is amazing. If moms could get a $2,500 check every month from the government, that would be incredible. But how do you actually get that done? And, you know, the Senate endorsed Biden's $1.9 trillion stimulus package just before sunrise this morning with Vice President Harris as the tiebreaker. And it does include things like extending unemployment, which you mentioned, extending paid leave to around 3 months, continuing a moratorium on evictions. There's a one-time check of $1,400 available for those who meet certain thresholds. There are components about reopening schools within the first 100 days, which of course is the way that so many parents rely on childcare. You know, I think that's one of the things that we've realized here is that school is a huge way that many parents are able to find childcare and get to work each day.
And Dakita, it looks like you and your husband are both working, if I read the article correctly. So is a government stimulus check the best way that they can help you? And do you think about other policy items that are needed in general?
I believe so. I agree wholeheartedly with what Jessica says. Although we are both working, you know, we having that help outside of the home is so key, so important, not only for the development of the children, but for the parents to be able to do what they need to do and, you know, get their work done and have space to breathe. And of course, under circumstances where everything is safe. So I think that stimulus plan would be excellent. I love to see that the administration is on the right path with that, and I'm happy to learn more about it.
And Jessica, one of the articles in the Times Primal Screen package is by Claire Kane Miller and has sections on how employers, government, and individuals could help. So starting with government, it notes the Biden plan features that we just talked about, but it also notes that Sweden, for example, gives up to 16 months of child care leave, usable until a child is 8, not just a baby. That was before the pandemic. It also recommends Social Security credits for unpaid caregivers, which usually means stay-at-home moms, and offer tax credits to businesses that rehire moms. Like those ideas?
Yeah, I sure do like those ideas. It also provides 4 months of sick leave to take care of children up to age 12. I mean, these are benefits that we do not have in this country, that the government does not provide for us. And I think in a lot of ways, for at least white-collar workers, they've in turn relied on companies to provide them with these sorts of services. And that's really, you know, not the way to create an equitable system. There are some companies who have tried to fill these gaps, you know, offering flexible schedules or part-time schedules, paying for childcare or offering stipends to reimburse for childcare. You know, there are a few companies doing pretty interesting things, but these are the minority.
Just one piece of political analysis before you go, Jessica. If, you know, I know you're not a Washington correspondent, but if you have a sense of this, is the Marshall Plan for moms per se the $2,400 a month for moms during the pandemic and depending on income, a non-starter in Washington, despite thousands of signatures on that petition? Do you know?
Well, so I'll caveat this by saying I have not asked the administration, but from what I understand, this is like a very lofty idea that would be incredible to have, but I don't believe there is a path currently making its way in the political system.
Jessica Bennett, Dakita Brown, thank you so much for coming on with us. And listeners, I guess that's going to be in the magazine, the print edition on Sunday. Is that where it's going to show up in print?
It'll be in the newspaper special section. You can pull it out.
Special section on Sunday. And
yep.
It's online now, the package called The Primal Scream. Dakita and Jessica, thank you so much.
Thank you for
thank
having
you.
Us.
Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.